Just then, they all heard firing start down the road where Pablo was holding the post he had taken. Pilar stopped cursing and listened.
Ay,
she said.
Ay, ay, that's it.
Robert Jordan heard it as he swung the coil of wire up onto the bridge with one hand and then pulled himself up after it. As his knees rested on the edge of the iron of the bridge and his hands were on the surface, he heard the machine gun firing around the bend below. It was a different sound from Pablo's automatic rifle. He got to his feet, leaned over, passed his coil of wire clear, and commenced to pay out wire as he walked backwards and sideways along the bridge. He heard the firing, and as he walked, he felt it in the pit of his stomach as though it echoed on his own diaphragm. It was closer now as he walked, and he looked back at the bend of the road, but it was still clear of any car, or tank, or men. It was still clear when he was halfway to the end of the bridge. It was still clear when he was three-quarters of the way, his wire running clear and unfouled, and it was still clear as he climbed around behind the sentry box, holding his wire out to keep it from catching on the ironwork. Then he was on the road, and it was still clear below on the road, and then he was moving fast backwards up the little washed-out gully by the lower side of the road, as an outfielder goes backwards for a long fly ball, keeping the wire taut, and now he was almost opposite Anselmo's stone, and it was still clear below the bridge. Then he heard the truck coming down the road, and he saw it over his shoulder just coming onto the long slope, and he swung his wrist once around the wire and yelled to Anselmo,
"Blow her!"
And he dug his heels in and leaned back hard onto the tension of the wire with a turn of it around his wrist, and the noise of the truck was coming behind, and ahead there was the road with the dead sentry and the long bridge and the stretch of road below, still clear, and then there was a cracking roar, and the middle of the bridge rose up in the air like a wave breaking, and he felt the blast from the explosion roll back against him as he dove on his face in the pebbly gully with his hands holding tight over his head. His face was down against the pebbles as the bridge settled where it had risen, and the familiar yellow smell of it rolled over him in acrid smoke, and then it commenced to rain pieces of steel. After the steel stopped falling, he was still alive, and he raised his head and looked across the bridge. The center section of it was gone. There were jagged pieces of steel on the bridge, with their bright, new, torn edges and ends, and these were all over the road. The truck had stopped up the road about 100 yards. The driver and the two men who had been with him were running toward a culvert. Fernando was still lying against the bank, and he was still breathing, his arms straight by his sides, his hands relaxed. Anselmo lay face down behind the white marking stone. His left arm was doubled under his head, and his right arm was stretched straight out. The loop of wire was still around his right fist. Robert Jordan got to his feet, crossed the road, knelt by him, and made sure that he was dead. He did not turn him over to see what the piece of steel had done. He was dead, and that was all. He looked very small dead, Robert Jordan thought. He looked small and gray-headed, and Robert Jordan thought, I wonder how he ever carried such big loads if that is the size he really was. Then he saw the shape of the calves and the thighs and the tight, gray herdsman's breeches and the worn soles of the rope-soled shoes, and he picked up Anselmo's carbine and the two sacks, practically empty now, and went over and picked up the rifle that lay beside Fernando. He kicked a jagged piece of steel off the surface of the road. Then he swung the two rifles over his shoulder, holding them by the muzzles, and started up the slope into the timber. He did not look back, nor did he even look across the bridge at the road. They were still firing around the bend below, but he cared nothing about that now. He was coughing from the TNT fumes, and he felt numb all through himself. He put one of the rifles down by Pilar where she lay behind the tree. She looked and saw that made three rifles that she had again. You are too high up here, he said. There's a truck up the road where you can't see it. They thought it was planes. You better get further down. I'm going down with Augustine to cover Pablo.
The old one?
She asked him, looking at his face. Dead. He coughed again, rackingly, and spat on the ground.
Thy bridge is blown, Inglés. Pilar looked at him. Don't forget that.
I don't forget anything, he said. You have a big voice, he said to Pilar. I have heard thee bellow. Shout up to the Maria and tell her that I am all right.
We lost two at the sawmill, Pilar said, trying to make him understand.
So I saw, Robert Jordan said. Did you do something stupid?
Go and obscenity thyself, Inglés, Pilar said. Fernando and Eladio were men too.
Why don't you go up with the horses, Robert Jordan said. I can cover here better than thee.
Thou art to cover Pablo.
The hell with Pablo. Let him cover himself with mierda.
Nay, Inglés, he came back. He has fought much below there. Thou hast not listened? He is fighting now, against something bad. Do you not hear?
I'll cover him. But obscenity, all of you, thou and Pablo both.
Inglés, Pilar said, calm thyself. I have been with thee in this as no one could be. Pablo did thee a wrong, but he returned.
If I had had the exploder, the old man would not have been killed. I could have blown it from here.
If, Pilar said.